This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
And here is the title of our series and the title of part four, which is what we are going to get into today. So the series is titled God's Wonderful Grace, and His grace is wonderful. Amen. And this is part four. And in part four, I want to share with you that grace is not empowerment to keep God's law. There is a lot of confusion about that in the body of Christ, and we often have people who understand grace, or they think that grace is just purely an empowerment to keep God's law. In other words, to continue relating to God by law, and now they just have this additional fuel, this additional empowerment to be able to do it even better than they've ever done it before, through God's grace. So people have a view that grace is just an empowerment, an enablement, a injection, if you will, a boost to be able to fulfill God's law and relate to God by His law. And already just those phrases that I've said, just what I've said, already sound so erroneous, but we want to clarify that today, and we want to have a look at it in God's Word. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, just as a quick little touch-up, or recap at least, in part one, we showed you how grace, the grace of God, is the gospel. Amen. Grace is the gospel. It's not just a subject, it's not just a topic, but it's the very gospel itself. And I showed you that in part one. In part two, we looked at how we must embrace grace and not mix it with law in order to experience it like God wants us to experience it and live in it and enjoy it the way God wants us to enjoy it. Amen. And then in part three, which is last week, we looked at how grace will be misunderstood, but it stands. And we looked at the three most common objections that people have about grace and about relating to God by grace. And I trust that those blessed you. We looked at that and showed you scripture. And so today, as we have already seen in our title, we are going to clarify a very common confusion that is out there in Christendom, in the Christian world, in doctrine specifically. And you know, you may hear something similar to what I'm about to say, but it's all saying the same thing. You will often hear preachers, teachers, and people, believers, say that God gave His law to show us how to live, and grace is how He empowers us to do it. In other words, what they're saying with that is that God, beyond the cross, still expects us to relate to Him by His law, His old covenant law. And now, because He saw that the people of the old covenant, the people before the cross, couldn't do it, He now sent His Son Jesus to provide grace for us. And grace is the additional help that will help you relate to God by law better, perfectly, and exactly. And as you know, if you've been with us this series, and if you've ever heard our teaching, you know that that is far from truth. That is actually very incorrect. It is not gospel truth. It is not biblically sound, and it doesn't back up what Paul the Apostle, what the New Covenant teaches. Amen. But nonetheless, it's something that we need to understand. We need to see why people say that, and then learn what gospel truth says, and then establish ourselves in that, and live by that. So let me make some statements, and then I'm going to show you and back it up with scripture. Firstly, grace is not law plus help. Does that make sense? So grace is not the way that God helps us to fulfill His law. Jesus already fulfilled the law for us because we could never fulfill it. And imperfect people can never satisfy a perfect standard. That's why Jesus did it for us. So grace is not law plus help. Let me put it another way. Grace is not empowerment to keep God's law. Grace is a new way of life in Jesus, apart from law. Amen. So we need to embrace the law for the reasons God gave the law. And I've already discussed that in the series, and I'm going to touch on it a little bit again today, just to remind us. But basically, grace is a new way of life for us to relate to God, a new way of relating to God, because the old way didn't work and it couldn't work. And God gave it so that we can see that we can never relate to God by our merit and by our performance. In other words, by our imperfection. And so as descendants of a fallen being who's Adam, we could never satisfy a perfect standard because we are imperfect. And so God gave his law to show us that imperfection, because some people didn't think they were. And I don't blame them, because if you don't know what God's standard is, then you think you're okay. So once we see God's perfect standard, then we're able to see that we need redemption, we need grace, and then we can embrace grace fully. Amen. And so let's get into some of the specifics and the detail as far as backing up what I just said and showing you that grace is not an empowerment to fulfill or to live up to or to relate to God by his law. Okay, so the first thing that I want to show you, and it's going to come up on the screen. I have 3 points that we're going to look at today. And here's point number one. The law's purpose was never empowerment. In other words, God didn't give us his law to empower us to be able to relate to him perfectly and be able to have right standing with him and become holy and righteous before him. It was never designed for that. The law was never designed to empower us to get it right, to have right standing with God, to relate to God, and be all that God wants us to be. The law was never designed for that. Amen. So number one, the law's purpose was never empowerment. Let's have a look at 3 portions of scripture that back that up and show it to us real clearly. Let's begin with Romans 3 verse 20. And we're going to read mostly from the Amplified translation today. Okay. So Romans 3 verse 20, it says, for no person, in other words, no one, will be justified, that is freed of guilt and declared righteous in his sight, how? By trying to do the works of the law. You see, the most we can do with the law is try, but we can never get it right. And so here, Paul says, no one will be able to have right standing with God and be guiltless and free of guilt by trying to relate to him by law. See? So that shows you that the law's purpose was never empowerment. Then he goes on and he says, for through the law, we became conscious of sin. So in other words, the law will show you how imperfect you are and how sinful you are. And the recognition of sin, watch this, directs us toward repentance, in other words, having a change of mind, but provides no remedy for sin. So the law simply shows you how guilty you are, and it doesn't provide a way for you to fix it. It doesn't provide a fix. Now, looking at that portion of scripture, look at those emboldened parts. No person, by trying to do the works of the law, will be able to have right standing with God, and they will always be conscious of their sin. And so the law is designed to direct us towards Jesus. That's in essence what it's saying. That's the purpose of the law. So when we say we embrace the law for the reasons God gave the law, well, there it is right there. And so once more, we see that the law's purpose was never empowerment. So if we say grace empowers me to do it better, if the law was never designed to get it right, then how's grace going to help you get it right? You see how it sounds like a little bit of an oxymoron? That's why it doesn't make sense. Okay, let's have a look at Romans 5, verse 20, from the Amplified Translation. It says, but the law came, here's again showing us the purpose for the law. But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of the trespass, in other words, sin, by defining and unmasking sin. You see, before God's law came, people could not tell necessarily accurately what was godly, what was not godly. And so God gave his law to help us see that clearly and accurately. Then it says, but where sin increased, in other words, when people realized just how sinful they were, God's remarkable gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed that and increased all the more. In other words, the more people realized through his law just how they fall short, the more they realized how they needed the grace of God. And isn't that how it is for us who understand the revelation of grace? No matter how good we think we are, no matter how better than other people we think we are, we will never be 100% perfect. And so because of that, the law is there designed to show us how we fall short. Remember the rich young man, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what else must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, well, and then he actually said, he says, I've done them all. Jesus told him, and he says, I've done it all. And then the Lord Jesus pointed him and said, okay, sell everything you have, give it to the poor and follow me. And the young man walked away. In other words, he had another God, which was his wealth, his money. And so the first out of the Ten Commandments, he failed. And Jesus showed. So Jesus used the law to show him how, no matter how good and perfect you think you are, you will always fall short of a perfect standard, God's perfect standard, because we are inherently imperfect. See, that's the reason why he gave his law. So again, it backs up the point. The law's purpose was never empowerment. So how can we say that grace is an empowerment to get it right? No, it's not. Okay, let's have a look at another one. Galatians 3. Now this time we're going to read only the first part of verse 19, and then we are going to jump to verse 24 for time's sake. Okay, so watch this. It says, why then the law? What was its purpose? It was added after the promise to Abraham, and here's the reason. To reveal to people their guilt because of transgressions, in other words, sins. That is, to make people conscious of their sinfulness of sin. So do you see it? Again, it tells us the reason for the law, the purpose for the law, and why we should embrace the law for those reasons, but also it reveals to us that the law's purpose was never to give us empowerment. Amen. Then it says in verse 24, with the result that the law has become our tutor and our disciplinarian to guide us to Christ. So what is the purpose of the law? To show us how we need salvation, because we cannot save ourselves. And then, once we realize that, the law's purpose is to point us to Jesus. Do you see that? There it is. There's the reasons for the law, and there's the reasons why we should embrace the law. Do you agree with that? Can I have a good amen? Praise God. Okay, so it continues and it says, so that we may be justified, that is, declared free of the guilt of sin and its penalty, and placed in right standing with God by faith. In other words, by believing in Jesus, in redemption in Jesus. So once more, another portion that backs up the first point that we're looking at, which is the law's purpose was never empowerment. And so how can we say that grace is an empowerment to fulfill the law when we've just seen how we can never fulfill the law in and of ourselves? Amen. So that's something important that backs up the whole point, the overall point of our series, of our message today. Grace is not an empowerment to fulfill and live up to God's law. I mean, one of the ways that I can illustrate everything we've discussed so far is take a car, a vehicle. Most people in the modern world today have a car. Here in the United States, most people have a car, right? And so each car comes with a manual, and it's a very detailed, exact manual in case you need to look at something or figure something out about your car. I know that they are pretty thick sometimes. And so there could be something wrong with your car. The yellow light comes on, the engine light comes on. You have no reason why, and you're trying to figure out why. You don't want to go to the, you know, to the shop, to the mechanic shop, repair shop, and pay more than you need to pay, because it may just be something simple that you can figure out. So you go and you take a look at the manual, and the manual tells you and shows you, go to page so-and-so if this light is on. You go to that light, you read it, and it tells you your engine may need oil, it may need oil change, whatever. It'll be specific. It'll tell you how to narrow down the possibilities and what to do. But the manual itself is going to diagnose and tell you what is wrong, but it's not going to fix your car. Correct? You can't say, oh, manual, like Dora the Explorer. You know, she has the map that talks and shows her where to go. You can't take the manual and say, fix the car, and then just fling it in the air and watch it do its magic. It's not going to happen. It's the same thing with God's law. God's law will show you what is wrong in your life, what is sinful, what is unacceptable to God, but it's not going to fix it for you. It's not going to help. It's going to give you the solution. And what is the solution? Jesus and the finished work of the cross. It's always going to point you to that. Amen. So how can we say that grace is an empowerment to live by and fulfill and satisfy the law? No, it isn't. It just, can you see why I say it just sounds so, I mean, I don't want to use the word stupid. So what, ludicrous? I don't know what word to use, but I think I've already used it anyway. But see, so that's how we can understand it and see it. So at the end of the day, we need to understand that the law's job is exposure, not empowerment. Didn't we see that in those three portions? The law is designed to expose our current state in Adam and to point us to Jesus for redemption. Amen. That's it. All right. So that was the first point. Now let's have a look at the second point, and it's coming up on the screen. Grace removes us from the law system entirely. That's what the grace of God does. God gave us His grace to take us out of having to relate to Him by law, because we could never get it right. It's never going to work, as I've just shown you. And so He gives us grace to take us out of that system, out of us trying to relate to Him by law or thinking that there is no other hope and we can never get it right. No, grace removes us from the law system entirely. Amen. Let's have a look at some scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Watch this. It says, "For sin will no longer be a master over you." Watch this. "Since you are not under law as slaves, but under unmerited grace, as recipients of God's favor and mercy." So look at that. You are not, as believers, you are not under law. So what are you trying to do being under law and relate to God by law? God says you're not under law. And I've just shown you why in this series. You've seen why not. It says, but you are under grace. See, grace, remember my main point? Grace removes us from the law system entirely. Isn't that what that portion is saying to you and I? It's telling us that grace removes us from the law system entirely, and God designed it that way. Amen. Here's another portion, Romans 7 verse 4, from the Amplified translation. It says, therefore, my fellow believers, so this is talking to people who've received salvation in Jesus. It says, you too, watch this, died to the law. In other words, you have been removed from that system entirely, right? Through the crucified body of Jesus. So when Jesus hung on that cross, gave his life on that cross, not only did he die for you, but he also died as you. Can you see that? It says, so that you may belong to another. Talking about the Lord Jesus, who is grace. It's talking about grace. To him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. So the only way we can bear fruit is being under grace, not under law. So once more we see that grace is designed. God gave his grace to remove us from the law system entirely. Can you see why we don't reject the law? We don't refuse the law? We don't become antinomians? We just simply change our perspective for the purpose and reason for the law, and we embrace it for those reasons. I discussed some of this last week, how grace doesn't make us lawless, right? So go and have a look at that if you missed it. But right now you see once more another portion that shows you and proves to you that grace removes us from the law system entirely. Amen. Let's have a look at another one. Galatians 2 verse 19 to 21. Watch this. It says, for through the law, I died to the law. In other words, you have been removed from that system entirely, right? As a believer. And its demands on me, because salvation is provided through the death and resurrection of Christ, so that I might from now on live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, that is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. By faith in what? In what Jesus has done. In other words, grace. By adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not ignore or nullify the gracious gift of the grace of God, his amazing unmerited favor, for if righteousness comes through observing the law, then Christ died needlessly. His suffering and death would have no purpose whatsoever. That is one loaded portion of Scripture. Amen. And Paul, in essence, he's saying, when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he just die for you, but he also died as you, as fallen Adam. In other words, as someone who couldn't relate to God by law because you could never satisfy the law. And by doing that, he started that portion by saying, then you died to the law. In other words, grace removed you from that system entirely and placed you in its system, in the grace system entirely. And through faith in that, can you really have salvation and relate to God. If you don't do it that way, he says, then basically you're saying Jesus died for nothing. Can you see that? I mean, it's pretty potent and powerful. So Paul, basically in this portion we've just read now, he says that he is dead to the law. And if righteousness came by the law, he says, then Jesus died for nothing. You see, we can never get it right by relating to God by law. It's Jesus plus nothing. Amen. We cannot relate to God by both, by law and grace, or by a mixture of law and grace. We saw that too. And so we saw last week how, you know, the metaphor with Sarah and Hagar. You cannot relate to God by both. And so grace doesn't help you live under Moses, but what it does is it joins you to Jesus. It takes you out of Moses and it puts you in Jesus. It takes you out of having to relate to God by your merit and performance and places you relating to God by grace, by Jesus's merit and performance, and it frees you from having to be judged by the law 24/7. Amen. So you can see from that, as all of those portions back up my point, grace removes us from the law system entirely. So how can we say grace is an empowerment to live up to law or to relate to God by law? Can you see how we go against the gospel truth and what God has provided for us in and through Jesus if we do that? Amen. So it's not me trying to be weird, trying to attack anybody or, you know, attack a group or anything like that. It's not. This is gospel truth. And we need to preach gospel truth. We have too many people that are trying to, you know, tippy toe and not offend anybody who likes the Jewish heritage and finds the Jewish heritage, and therefore they want to hang on to the law, and they don't do this, but they do some other ritual. Come on. Come on. Let's get serious about redemption in Jesus. He gave his life for us. What do we want to do? Hang on to something that he removed us out of. Amen. All right, so that's the second thing. Let's have a look at the third point that I want to share with you today, which is that grace produces true transformation apart from the law. You see, one of the reasons why people want to hang on to law is because they think that's the way to transform somebody. That's the way somebody transforms, changes themselves. If they see the laws, then they try and strive to live up to them, they'll change. No, they'll just get religious, which we've all been down that road. But grace produces true and genuine transformation. Why? Because when someone gets revelation of grace and understands it the way they need to and they should understand it, their heart truly does change. Because the law, as long as people relate to God by law, you know, it's easy to put on. It's easy to satisfy external things, external disciplines, routines, and so forth. But what grace does is it removes all of that and basically shows us our true state in at heart level, gives us a new identity, new confidence to be able to live from the heart, pleasing God. Amen. I mean, how often do we hear of people, of preachers, of priests who on the outside they look great, and on the outside we thought, oh, they were doing so great, and then all of a sudden they get accused of molesting children and doing this and doing that, and all of a sudden a whole can of worms is opened up. Why? Because we can fake it living under law. But the heart state is different. Jesus himself told the Pharisees that. He said, on the outside, you look like these beautiful. He says, but on the inside, you're like a bunch of dirty. You have a whole lot of dirt going on in there. You see, grace doesn't let us do that. Grace lets us relate to God at heart level. So the third point was that grace produces true transformation apart from the law. Let's have a look at some scripture to back that up. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Watch what it says here. It says, for the remarkable, undeserved grace of God, watch this, that brings salvation. See, grace brings salvation, not law, has appeared to all men. In other words, it's available to all people. It teaches us, still talking about grace, to reject ungodliness and worldly immoral desires, and to live sensible, upright, and godly lives. You see, anybody who says too much grace is not good, what they're saying is too much gospel truth is not good. Because if you receive it truly as God meant for us to receive it, then what we're going to understand is salvation only comes by grace. We're going to understand that grace will truly teach us to live godly lives. Grace will teach us to live upright and godly lives. Amen. It says, lives with a purpose that reflects spiritual maturity in this present age. In other words, grace produces true transformation apart from the law. Isn't that what that portion is saying? Absolutely. You see, grace is what teaches us to how to live godly, not the law. The law is just a bunch of rules and regulations. You know, I'm reminded of the story of this young boy in elementary school, you know, who's discovering himself, discovering that he has a will, discovering that, you know, he's able to determine for himself. So the teacher asks everybody to stand, and he refuses to stand because now he wants to practice his will, his freedom of choice. And she says, Johnny, we'll call him Johnny, okay? He says, Johnny, stand up. I told everybody to stand up. And he says, no, I will not. He says, you will. Otherwise, you're going to the principal's office and we're calling your parents. And after pressure, he decides to stand and he says to the teacher, I may be standing on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside. And you know, this is the thing that we need to understand when it comes to relating to God by law. A lot of people are standing upright on the outside, thinking they're living up to the law. But on the inside, they're really just sitting down and messing up. You see, grace allows us and frees us from that because it brings true transformation. Amen. Here's another portion, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, from the Amplified again. It says, but by the remarkable grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am. In other words, it's only grace that brought true transformation in my life, not the law. Isn't that what he's saying? And his grace toward me was not without effect. See, we can have grace and not let it have its way with us. In fact, he says, I worked harder than all of the apostles, though it was not I, but the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, which was with me. So you can see once more, the point is backed up. And Paul is actually saying here, grace produced true transformation in me apart from the law. So much so that it made me so diligent. It made me so effective that I did all on my own. I did more than what all the others did put together. He wasn't bragging. He was making the point clear that he had learned how to depend on the grace of God because it brought true transformation in his life. Amen. So here's another one. Hebrews 13 verse 9. Let's read that. It says, do not be carried away by diverse and strange teachings. And if you do look at this in context, he's talking about grace. So he's saying, don't let anyone deviate from grace. He says, for it is good for the heart to be established and strengthened by grace. In other words, don't diverge and embrace something strange other than grace. He says, and not by foods, rules of diet and ritualistic meals. There he's talking about the law, which bring no benefit or spiritual growth to those who observe them. In other words, it's only grace that brings true transformation, not law. Isn't that what he's saying with that portion? So yeah, he's backing it up. So you can see from what he's said there so far that our hearts need to be established in grace, not law. Otherwise, he would have said law and grace, right? But he said grace alone. And so, you know, going back to the illustration I gave you about a car. I mean, you take the example of a new car versus an old broken car. Imagine that you had both. You had a brand new car and you had a beaten up car that had holes at the bottom, hardly functioned, looked horrible. It just was about to fall apart. So if you look at the two, you see grace will never empower the old wreck, the old car in a bad condition. It is never going to empower that old wreck. What it's going to do is it's going to give it brand new life. It's going to give the person a brand new car. And so this is how it is with law and grace. Grace is never going to help us get something right that wasn't meant for us to get it right. What it's going to do is it's going to give us a brand new life in Jesus. Amen. And that's what we need to remember. So grace isn't a helper for the old system. It is a new system. Let me say that again. Grace isn't a helper for the old system. It is the new system. Amen. That is something we need to We need so much more of this teaching in the body of Christ. Amen. And praise God that as we put this out and make it available, let's trust that by the mighty hand of God, people will listen, will watch, and their lives will be transformed. Amen. So, let me just remind you, grace is not law plus help. I hope you've seen that today. Grace is not law plus help. It is Jesus plus nothing. Amen. Praise God. So I want to encourage you today as we come to a close. Stop trying to use grace to relate to God by law. It's never going to work. It wasn't designed for that purpose. Instead, relate to God by grace. Period. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry, or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.